Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Jill Brennan, and this is XBN, the Sex Worker Rights Broadcast Network. Tonight, my Monday night guest, she needs no introduction, but she gets one anyway. We are going to discuss the UK Extreme Porn Bill, which was passed into law recently, and various cases in the United States, which have been brought up on as an attempt to limit the context of pornography. Could the uncertain wording of the UK law prove problematic? Does it set a precedent? How do these laws and cases affect artistic freedom, freedom of speech, pornography, both professional and amateur? Or are these laws a roundabout way of setting standards for sexual interaction between adults? Those are all questions that are going to be discussed by my guest, and I have special music for my guest. Actually, she's not creation. She is renegade evolution.
Hey, Jill.
I'm sorry. It came to me on the drive home from work today. I just had to do it.
Well, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
This
I kind
of
dig it, though.
Times.
I dig it.
You want to hear it again? I mean, it's your own thing here.
Sure, why not? I kind of dig it.
It's like ancient Jefferson Airplane, but I'm thinking once you host your own show, maybe there's a name and a theme song. In the creation, it's not its evolution.
That works.
Renegade Evolution. What is happening with the UK Extreme? Well, they use the Blog Talk Radio software. We can't say porn, so it'll be PXRN, Bill. What's
okay.
Happening with that?
Well, let's see. I can give you the brief history of how it came into being. There was a case in England where a woman was killed by a gentleman. She was strangled, which is, of course, an unfortunate tragedy. And they found, adult material on his computer. It was pretty graphic and, some would say disturbing in nature. And this, of course, was used in his trial. You and I are both sort of the mind that a movie or a picture never murdered anyone. The murderer murdered them. But the mother of this woman, her name, Longhurst was her name, her mother, got interest in via politicians and various groups in England trying to get a law passed that if a person found having anything that could be deemed extreme content, which they then kind of talk about what extreme content is, found in their collections or on their computers or in movies or whatnot, they can be arrested and fined. Now, it's not the people participating in it. It's not the people making it. Merely having it. Whether you've paid for it or not, is punishable by law in the UK now.
Outstanding. That's genius.
Yeah, it is. Well, and it's funny. I put up. I have a few readers on my blog who are citizens of the UK, and I put up a couple pictures. You know, with no nudity in them whatsoever. I'm glad to know that I would be banned in the UK at this point. I mean, they're me, and I consented to be in them, but I own them. So I could be arrested in the United Kingdom, and I guess anybody with me in their Google cache over there could get arrested at this point.
that would take away the opportunity to meet Witchy Woo?
Well, yes, they would. It would. But I have a couple readers who are over in the UK that I really like. They're great. There's the gal, Caroline. She does the carnival, or she started the carnival for sexual autonomy and freedom of expression kind of thing. I mean, and she's UK-based. There's some cool people over there.
Well, couldn't they come visit you in jail?
I suppose they could, or get me a really good barrister, right? Is that what they call them in England? They're not lawyers, they're barristers. They'd have to get me a good one. But no, I just laugh because they, I mean, while the reason that this law came about is, you know, a very sad and very serious thing, the way that this law has just kind of gone out of control, and of course they don't really have any really hard definitions for what is considered to be extreme content. I mean, there's a certain couple things that are absolutely positively, you know, on the list that you can't have, but some of them are also very subjective to who's looking at it, I think, and that's going to be a problem.
Well, one of the things that came to Jill Brenneman's brain, no wonder the law is screwed up. I mean, isn't a buddy sit here, the guy that makes your chai latte at Starbucks?
I don't know. It's just, it's strange.
A barrister, a barista?
Yeah, that's true. They do. Yeah, a barista does. But I think that that's what the lawyers are called over there, is barristers. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Maybe they all had to start up at Starbucks, and they're not real good at the law?
Maybe they do. I think they wear those cool wigs, too, but I'm not sure.
Outstanding.
If anyone's listening in England, please call us and tell us what is the correct terminology for lawyers in your country, and do they wear the wigs?
Yes.
I want to know now.
Here, give out the phone number. Do you know the phone number?
I don't. I don't have it memorized by heart. I don't.
646-200-3136. Call in and tell us, what do you call a lawyer in the UK? I know you call them a lawyer. You call a lawyer in Chile, for example, an abogado, or you know everything's got to have a gender in Spanish. I mean, even table. So it'd be an abogada. That could be a show in itself. Like why does the table have to have a gender? Another time.
So yeah, somebody. So I think it's like 6 a.m. over there. Maybe somebody's listening. Who knows?
What made the cycle in Australia? Austria. What made him hold his daughter captive for 24 years and rape her? I mean, if one could say that porn caused this man to suffocate this woman, did the Brady Bunch cause this man to snap and keep his daughter and the children that he fathered with her in the basement? Because it seems to me I remember an episode of the Brady Bunch involving a basement.
Well, and I think the thing is, you know, I mean, everybody likes to throw out the studies that, you know, porn has been, oh, I'm sorry, I can't say it, adult content material has been linked to, violence or sexual assault or what have you, and they cite these studies, but you can find just as many studies that say that is not the case. In fact, it lessens it, and it's the whole, you know, mess that we've talked about with studies and statistics in any event. But I think that, you know, there are so many people that watch, you know, adult movies or look at magazines or what have you that are totally normal people. And then, you know, there's some that, you know, happen to be bad people or violent people that also happen to watch it. So why are we, you know, not blaming the people? Why are we blaming the material? I mean, if it made every single person in the world who watches it, whether it be, you know, softcore or extreme content, violent, there'd be a heck of a lot more violent people out there. And if you look at countries where it's completely illegal and very hard to get your hands on in the first place, it's not like there's no lack of violence against, you know, women in Saudi Arabia where it's illegal, you know? And I think that ever since, I guess it was Ted Bundy first used the oh, the, you know, the dirty movies made me do it excuse, everybody in the world has jumped on that. That guy was a monster to start with, you know?
You know, and it just strikes me as garbage because, I mean, it just, to say that the movie made me do it, you know, and granted, I mean, to me, there are boundaries with porn. You know, I mean, and you and I have talked about this before. I mean, bestiality to me is just...
That's one of the things that's illegal. Here, I've got it right here. Let's see. Necrophilia, bestiality, violence that is life-threatening or likely to result in serious injury to the anus, breasts, or genitals, an act which threatens or appears to threaten a person's life. That's where the subject part... Subjectivity comes in, I think.
Well, I know there's a lot of like fake snuff films that like nobody really dies, but you know, I mean,
the U.S. government did a massive search trying to find a real deal, like a real honest to God snuff film. They spent years and you know millions of dollars and could never actually find one that could be proven to be the real thing. And I kind of feel like, you know, this is an attack on kinky people, and many of the British people feel the same way, that if they're really trying to crack down on specifically the BDSM communities and the gay community.
Well, that's what it would seem. I mean, I can see the logic behind, you know, not killing people in porn. I can see the logic in not having
mm-hmm.
children in porn. I can see the logic in not having animals in porn. I mean, to use animals as an example, I mean, right now my dog is chewing on a screwdriver.
Well, it's all about that big word consent. I mean, a corpse, an animal, and a child cannot consent. Neither can somebody who's there unwillingly, you know?
Exactly. You know, an animal that views a screwdriver as something to eat cannot consent.
Right. And it's just that they have, I mean, the whole thing, too, with is the, you know, okay, so there's a lot of stuff that's, you know, BDSM-related that people consent to and they enjoy doing it that may look extremely, you know, dangerous or threatening to other people who are not familiar with it. So, I mean, who gets to decide? I mean, literally, I'm sorry, to some people, anal sex is going to look like it's going to result in serious injury or, you know, serious harm or be threatening. And if somebody's never done it, sure, it could. But to somebody who's done it before. So, I mean, is it going to be, you know, Joe Schmo whose sphincter tightens up tighter than drum merely thinking about it and has never, you know, been tied up by his girlfriend in his life? Is he going to be the person that gets to decide if this is... you know, seriously injuring or threatening or what?
You know, again, I think the whole issue comes down to blaming perpetrators. And I think that's just so many other countries didn't figure that out. But the U.S. doesn't. You know, it has to be black and white and the whole thing just astonishes me, you know. And then the whole thing about, well, who can use it? I mean, if you're an anti-prostitution researcher, you exempt yourself from 2257 and put stolen pictures on your website.
Absolutely, and nobody says a word because, you know, you're fighting the good fight or whatever. Never mind, you know, the feelings of the person in it or the fact that you are now breaking the law in the United States and the United Kingdom. Interesting, isn't that?
I wonder if we could have her arrested while she's over in the UK.
I think that would send an interesting message. I mean, if they have their slideshow and they're doing their training things over there in the UK, they certainly could be busted.
And then she could call the SWAT USA hotline.
Yeah. And we could either be magnanimous or laugh. I'm not sure. Well, I guess it would depend on who answered the phone.
Yeah, I think you're right. It would depend on who answered the phone. You know, if Susan from Desiree, which I don't even think she answered the phone, But if she did, then Farley would be okay, because I don't think that Susan has could look at a rattlesnake and not be kind. But whether I would be magnanimous with Farley, geez, I don't know.
Me either. I'm not a big fan of hers at all, but we knew that. So she's, I don't know.
I mean, for a fee. I think my magnanimous. My magnanimousness could be purchased.
Well, that's true. I am a mercenary. I do have a price. But I guess I could agree with that to an extent, except that I'm still reeling about the whole, Diane Sawyer thing, where sex workers actually wrote in to say how much they didn't like her piece on 2020, and Farley comes back with, oh, quick, stop the pro-pimp lobby from speaking on the matter.
That in itself was, I think I know the answer to that. I think that that's specifically a San Francisco thing. How many times do you think Farley has driven past Candlestick Park?
Oh, I don't know. Several hundred, maybe? I don't know.
100.
Yeah.
Well, that park is named, like, every year. It's got a new name. I mean, it's been Freecom Park, which sounded like some North Korean dictator. And then it was, I can't even remember all the names. The Monster Park and whatever it was between Freecom and Pro-Pimp Lobby. That to me sounds like a hotel that just got a sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, we're hosting a wedding in the Pro-Pimp Lobby.
Right. I don't know. Maybe we could get Hefner to give us a room or something. I don't know. I mean, he's opening up a new hotel in Vegas, after all.
There's sponsorships for everything now. I went to Holy Sunday Mass back before Easter, and the father, I forget what his last name is, halfway through the speech, he thanked Bose sound systems for the new speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I can't even go to, a Holy Sunday, a Palm Sunday Mass, without a corporate sponsorship.
Yep. That's what we need. Yeah. We need corporate sponsorship.
Because
then we really can be sellouts, and maybe we will get a check from our overlords.
I need the check. I mean, Larry Flint.
Yeah, I could use one, too, frankly. Yeah, I love how everyone has this impression that we're all just rolling in money, and that's not really the case, I kind of... I know I don't make as much as Farley does.
I know that I don't either. But you scare people more. I mean, you have even eclipsed me.
I know, which is strange. I don't know. I don't think I'm that. Well, I don't think I'm that scary. Maybe I am. I don't know.
Well, you think that?
I have a hard time.
Together,
pardon?
If they saw us together, I should get my scariness back. I mean, I'm a foot taller than you are, and
yeah, I have a hard time imagining people being afraid of someone who's as short as I am. But apparently they are. I don't know.
But then if one
maybe it's
the
theory that if you're going to go after a short person, you better take them down quick or else they'll chew through your Achilles tendon. I don't know.
Well, see, I still go back to the thing that you're the 12th Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, in which case, I mean, I've seen, Trisha Helfer, who's very tiny and very petite, and Grace Park, who, and some other actors, all of them are very small women, and they're Cylon, and, they throw men around. And
well, I guess it's that you don't expect the small ones to be the lead breakers. I guess that could be, there could be something to that. Yes, I mean, it's only a matter of time now with these laws in place that pretty soon some of our favorite television shows are going to start getting, told we can't watch them. We won't be able to watch Battlestar Galactica or 24 or any of those things anymore.
Well, I think those need to be taken away. I mean, they need to shut Battlestar Galactica off. They need to shut 24 off. The whole world just watched.
All of CSI and all of the Law and Orders have to go.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, pretty much, you know, The Shield and, you know, Rescue Me, those both have to go. Because, you know, they could encourage professional wrestling has to go. You know, pretty much half the video games out there, they need to go too. Because, you know, they could make people do bad things. I mean, we have, you know, everything from, you know, school shootings being blamed on, you know, Marilyn Manson to, you know, idiots running people over with their cars being blamed on Grand Theft Auto and Fast and Furious. So maybe all of those things need to go. And then what do we have left? Absolutely nothing. I mean, that's my whole problem with the whole starting of this ball of wax is where do you stop? Because sooner or later, you know, okay, the Michelangelo's David has to go because he's naked. I don't understand. Where does it stop?
I'm pretty soon the only person who's got a porn site is Molly.
Well, and it's just my whole thing is what I want to ask these people is if, you know, they want to get rid of this content and, you know, they're making it illegal and to own it in the United Kingdom. And there's a lot of people that would like to make it illegal to make it. If you make it illegal to make it, if there's still a demand for it, it's still going to get made. And I would think if you had a brain in your head, you'd rather have it made in places where, you know, contracts and consent and age and all that stuff is required and is on file than have it made, you know, somewhere where none of those things are required and you have no idea where it's coming from. Because people will still, if people still want it, they'll find a way to get it and people will still make it. I mean, content regulation just pushes it all further underground and makes it infinitely more dangerous for everyone involved.
Do they really think it's going to go away? I mean,
yeah, that's big, my question. Yeah, prohibition has worked so well on everything else, right? Yeah, I mean, it made booze stop and it made prostitution stop and it sure has kept people from smoking weed. You know, yeah.
This is just another of the noble crusades of the right wing. You know, I mean, 20 years ago, they were fighting backward masking because it's going to turn the next generation into a bunch of Satanists. The Church of Satan, in my mind, hasn't grown. And yet, I grew up listening to the Electric Light Orchestra and Journey and Led Zeppelin and the Eagles, and all of those supposedly contain evil backward masking.
Well, evil messages. Yeah, well, and the same with me. Like, I was, as you know, not even quite yet a teenager, but, you know, a little bit younger than that. My brother is a couple years older than I am, and he was really into, you know, Black Sabbath and Ozzy and Iron Maiden. Although I have to say Iron Maiden, they were just pretty flat out about it, but they just, you know, you didn't even have to play the records backwards. They were talking about Satan. And then I was, you know, big into Nine Inch Nails and Ministry and stuff like that, which is some pretty angry music. And most of the people that I know that listen to it are just fine. You know, they're not out, you know, sacrificing goats in graveyards or anything. But, and I think it's funny that if you listen to, you know, oh, say, Led Zeppelin or Ozzy or Pink Floyd or whomever compared to a lot of the music that you can hear now, it's nothing. Just like I was talking, I was mentioning about television and how, do you remember back in the day when Miami Vice came out and it was so racy and so violent and so edgy?
I do.
And now if you look at Miami Vice compared to, you know, what's on now, CSI or The Shield or whatever, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. And, you know, if you talk about media that everyone in the world has access to and that isn't geared solely for adults, you know, that we have to take a look at television first, just regular old television. But not a lot of people talk about that. I mean, you hear talk about music and you hear talk about, you know, porn. But you don't hear it about a lot of much more easily accessible mainstream media. And I think it's because, for the most part, those people aren't naked. And, well, and of course, because it's fantasy. The people in porn are actually having sex. It's not, you know, faked. So, I don't know. But I'm laughing. I'm looking at some of the stuff that, the cases that are happening in the States right now. This one is here's some of my absolute favorites. I mean, we're, you know, ragging on the UK. But let's see. let's see, in Kansas, there's prosecutions for obscene Halloween costumes and against a sex shop for selling various, toys and some videos. And then there's another one, a video store that has been hauled into court for selling videos that have interracial sex scenes and an amateur swing orgy material with people who would not be considered attractive by mainstream pornography viewers. So that's basically saying, you know, you're too ugly to be in the movie, and therefore we're dragging these people into court or for selling, you know, sleazy Halloween costumes or, interracial movies. I mean, that's what we're wasting our government money on.
Well, that sounds like a fine use of government money.
Yeah. I mean, we're not even talking, crazy and extreme acts or anything. We're talking about, regular old people having sex.
And, it's not like you're talking about supporting bestiality.
Yep. I mean, in all of the cases that I'm looking at for the United States, there are no producers, no stores that are selling it, whatever, are being pulled in for anything involving animals, children, or dead people. It's all, consenting adults, or at least people who, have signed forms and are over the age of 18. I mean, whether you like what they happen to be doing in their movies or not is not so, I mean, a lot of people aren't going to like it. A lot of people aren't going to care. But, none of these cases are about child porn or about bestiality or necrophilia or anything like that. It's all, adult humans going at it.
And consenting adults.
We would assume so. I mean, all these companies that are listed that have been dragged into court are pretty well known and, 2257 compliant and all that good stuff.
It just leads to the stupidity of it to me. Just perpetually leads to questions to me.
Oh, it completely blows my mind. I mean, I have some mixed feelings about the age of consent in porn being 18. I mean, I do have some mixed feelings about that. I mean, I figure, you're 18, you can pick up a gun and you can go to war and you can die and you can vote. But I don't know. I mean, I do. I have mixed feelings about it being 18 or whether it should be raised to 21, but that's neither here nor there. The fact is right now the legal age is 18. And you have, these people who, this is the way they make their living. And, one of the directors that's in trouble is a woman director. Two of them, actually. Two of the cases are against production companies that have female directors. And it's just, I don't get it. I mean, people can you see all this reality television of car crashes and shootings and robberies, and I mean you could turn on some reality television show and see somebody who the 7-Eleven clerk getting shot in the head by an armed robber, and that's okay. But God forbid that somebody who wants to make a kinky video is going to get hauled into court for that. Death is completely fine. And violence is completely fine, but porn is not.
Well, and one has to wonder, how do you get to that point? There's so much on TV that, if I had a child, I wouldn't necessarily want my child to see something on TV. And they represent things that I don't think a child should see, and but that doesn't mean that adults can't see them.
Right. Well, I mean, I agree with you completely, and I think that the fact is that the more than anybody, the porn business makes an attempt to to make you know their materials for adults. It they says it on every single web page. It says it on every single movie that this is intended for adult viewers. You don't find that a lot of other places. And I mean, I know the reason how we got there. There's the twofold thing of one is the whole moral agenda of that sex is for married people, and it's. That's the way it's supposed to be, which is a very, kind of right-wing leaning and conservative Christian sort of morality, and this country has a long history of that. And then you have the whole, the feminist look at it, that it's, a sexualized violence and degradation of women. And as much as people don't want to say, you get those two together, and that's exactly what's happened, that then it makes, it's a pretty powerful lobby at that point, against people who, A, really just would rather be left alone or don't want to make a lot of waves. I mean, I've kind of noticed this with people in the porn business, is it almost takes them getting dragged into court before they say, now, wait a minute. They would rather just be left alone to do their thing and not draw attention to themselves. I mean, a few of them have, absolutely. I mean, Larry Flint has and Rob Black has. They've gone out of their way to draw, legal and right-wing and feminist attention to their actions, but most of them don't. And then when somebody, they get snagged or tagged or slapped with a lawsuit when they least expect it, that's when they finally start to say something, which I think it's because a lot of it is, as soon as they draw attention to themselves, then they get investigated. It's like all you have to do is stick your head out of the sand for 2 seconds and someone's all over you.
And once again, for what? For adult consensual sex. And it's whether you like it or not, it's entertainment.
Yep. For a whole lot of people it is. And it's entertainment for a whole lot of people that have never committed a, truly violent or unwanted act of anything upon anyone. I mean, this whole mentality that the people who are viewers of BDSM porn or practitioners of BDSM are these horrible raging maniacs, or people who are into the rougher, more extreme content, pornography, or that kind of sex, are these horrible, violent maniacs that are just waiting and literally in the bushes to jump on somebody is insane. I mean, there's some of the most mellow, laid back people in the world that I have met are into BDSM. I mean, I think it's they're very self controlled and they have their thing and they do their thing with people who are also into it and are consenting about it. And I mean, I think you find probably less cases of those people getting out of hand and somebody getting hurt than you probably would at any, nightclub or frat party or singles bar in the United States any night of the week.
Well, and we don't ban other forms of media because somebody might do bad things with them. I mean, it's just the whole thing seems illogical to me. I mean, what do you ban a corporate? Do you ban a corporation, standard operating procedure manual because, the CEO of Enron stole the pensions of a million retirees and his employees?
Right. Is that whole, do you punish everybody for the bad acts of a few? And apparently some people think when it comes to this sort of thing that yes, you should. The whole, do we take away, firearms from everybody because some people use them to kill people? Do we take away medical marijuana because, drug dealers sometimes kill other people over the sale of marijuana? It's a long going thing. And I think that Americans traditionally, we have for many, many years, we're much more okay with violence than we are with sex. We, grew up on Western movies and war movies and The Terminator and all that other kind of stuff, which is all, incredibly violent stuff, but we're very repressed about sex. and I'm sure some people, and it's true, you know, what you see in porn is not what most people do in their bedroom. It is, if you want to call it stunt sex, that's what it is. It's performance. And yeah, some of it is violent, and some of it is, you know, got, you know, degrading language in it or whatever. But the point is, the people doing it have consented to be there. The people who watch it, and then some of the people who do it, you know, that's what they like. That's what makes them tick. That's what they enjoy. And they have, you know, until they change, you know, the First Amendment, they have the right to do it. And yeah, so it seems strange to me. I mean, it seems strange to me when I can turn on HBO and hear, you know, language just as degrading as that I would hear in any porn movie in a scene which is sexualized, except that the people are not actually having sex. You know, it's the fact that in the porn movie they're actually having sex. You can see the exact same scene, minus the actual, you know, penetrative intercourse on HBO in, you know, The Sopranos, as you would see in a porn movie. But, you know, the people in The Sopranos are not actually having the sex.
I remember discussion about the song "Horse with No Name."
That mm-hmm.
People didn't think that should be played.
Right.
Now you listen to that song, and I mean it's on Muzak.
Right. Well, I mean you listen to a lot of the ones that were so controversial back in the day, like what was it, the Kinks' Lola, about, you know, the man who falls in love with the trans woman, and then there was, you know, there were Hotel California, the whole album of Pink Floyd, The Wall. I remember when that came out, what a huge thing that was because of the, you know, the World War II and the Nazi type of imagery in the film, and everybody just went nuts, and it's kind of like, you know, it's true. Nowadays, that's nothing. And, you know, a whole lot of people listen to all of those songs and, you know, never did anything to hurt anybody. I don't know too many people who woke up after watching The Wall and decided that they were pink, you know?
I mean, how many people listened to Horse with No Name and then became a drug dealer?
Right, exactly. I love that song, by the way. That's a great one.
I find it too.
But, it is. And it's just the same thing is that I think it's a kind of a mass hysteria thing that is fueled by, you know, right-wing overreaction to you know, the thought of sex and feminist overreaction to the thought of not the type of sex that they want to have or see, with oftentimes women in the films who don't look, you know, like the average woman on the street. And you know, I can understand being concerned about, you know, girls growing up with body image issues and because of what they see on television, but more girls are going to get that from looking at Vogue magazine or watching America's Next Top Model or, you know, what have you, than they are probably from watching porn. Because I think that, you know, more 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old girls are watching America's Next Top Model or any other show on television, or, you know, than are sitting around, you know, watching the latest film from, you know, Vivid or whatever. More of them know who Tyra Banks is than know who Jenna Jameson is, you know?
That's exactly right. When we come back, we have to take one of our breaks. When we come back, we will have more of Renegade Evolution. I'm Jill Brenneman, and this is XCM.
I'm Rob Lightbound of Crown Weather Services. Prepare now for the 2008 hurricane season. Get your supplies now before the start of the hurricane season, and definitely before any hurricane watches or warnings go up. Have a plan ready in case a hurricane comes knocking at your door. Even if a hurricane doesn't affect you this hurricane season, wouldn't you rather be safe than sorry and avoid the massive rushes at the stores during a hurricane warning? Visit our website at www.crownweather.com for some excellent hurricane preparation links. Join me from the Crown Weather Services Weather Center on XBN for all of your hurricane information this upcoming hurricane season.
Swap East, a unit of Project Prosper, is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Our program is a sex worker rights and harm reduction based activist and awareness program located in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, with a specific focus on issues related to sex worker human rights initiatives and activism. Visit us at www.swapeast.org. XBN, the Sex Worker Broadcast Network. Sex worker voices, sex worker views, sex worker rights. This is XBN.
I'm Jill Brenneman. This is XBN. My guest, Renegade Evolution, the henchwoman herself. Renegade Evolution, would you like to partake in an experiment right here live on XBN?
Pardon? I'm taking part in an experiment?
Would you like to take part in an experiment right here on XBN?
Sure, why not?
Okay. The audience is welcome to join in, 646-200-3136, and this is a complete surprise to Renegade Evolution. We are going to see if media causes bad things to happen, and if by hearing a certain form of media here on XBN, what the results are. Okay, that is our experiment.
Funny, I don't feel any more evil.
Are you now a Satanist?
No, I'm not. I'm sorry, I'm not. It's that whole, I have no urge to run out and grab a goat and grab a bunch of my friends and go to the graveyard or anything like that. None whatsoever.
If you're in the listening audience and you are feeling like you are a Satanist, you can call us at 646-200-3136 and put forth the message that evil-sounding, evil-appearing media can cause bad things. However, while you're dialing, I should preface that the evil-sounding music really said the record is reversible, but time isn't. Turn back.
See, I thought it sort of had like an opera thing going on there.
Well, I think it did, too.
Yeah, and I mean, I felt like I should have a monocle on and I should be sipping tea or something. I don't know.
Did that incite you to become a Satanist or to sacrifice a goat or to...
No, not
have,
really.
Have sex with a corpse?
No. See, yeah, ew, no. Did not do any of those things. Not at all.
I mean, this may be a high point for XBN. We've never done an experiment before right here.
Yeah, that was like our live experiment on the air, and it was kind of cool. It really was. I mean, there's plenty of people out there that would tell you that I'm kind of evil, but no, I feel no more evil than I did when I first called in.
So... We should not ban this song, then.
No, well, see, it's kind of like, I don't know, maybe we need the Mythbuster guys to come in and check it out. I don't know, but now I feel no more likely to be a Satan worshiper after hearing after the XBN experiment. I just, you know, hey, but I think that you've seen A Clockwork Orange, yes?
Yeah.
Yes, I think that a lot of people have this whole mentality about the scene where he's there and they wire his eyes open and they make him watch all that stuff to make him become all mellow, right? I think that people have this mental image of that's what happens when you forget regular media or forget regular music. If you watch too much porn, you turn into the guy, you turn into Alex from A Clockwork Orange. And I can't say that's the case with most people I know who watch porn. In fact, I don't know anybody who watches porn that has, committed a non-consensual, horrible, violent act against somebody. So I don't know. Odd. I know more people who are like more likely to go try skydiving or something like that after watching a movie about skydiving than commit a violent act after watching extreme pornography.
Well, I mean, I guess there could be a thought process. I mean, I never really gave much thought to being a flight attendant until I saw Hawaii 5-0, and you had the chick running down the beach, and then you had, the theme song and the waves, and you had the airplane and the city, and I fell in love.
Right. Well, sure. I mean, I think you watch television shows, and you think, okay, that could be a neat job. But then, you find out that it's not at all like it is on television.
Well, there was also crime in that, and then I didn't turn into a criminal.
Right, or a cop. You didn't become a cop.
I don't have this need to say book 'em, Rent. Or to call you Dano.
Right, right. Although that would be kind of funny. I could see us at Chicago. Book 'em, Dano. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't, me and my friends, we don't run around calling each other names from the A-team or anything like that. I don't know why it is that porn specifically is such a huge thing other than the fact that there's sex involved. People want to talk about the way the women are treated or whatever, and I think that, it's true. In a lot of situations, women are treated, very horribly, but that is not exclusive to pornography by any stretch of the imagination. And you have all these people saying that, they care about the way the women are treated and portrayed in the films. And then if, God forbid, you're a woman in the industry or who, defends the industry or makes the kind of content that they don't like, and you say you're there of your own choice, you get treated just as harshly, if not more so, by these people that are supposedly defending the women. If you're a woman director in porn of any kind, whether it be, the type we were discussing before, the feminist porn, you're a sellout and you're treated horribly. So you just kind of throw your hands up with everybody and be like, listen, you think that you care. You don't. You have the people on the right wing calling you, amoral, horrible Jezebel, and then the people on the left, we have to save you for your own good, and what you have to say about it matters not in the least. And by the way, you suck. It's a no-win situation. And they talk about how degrading the films are. It's like, oh, come on, get over it. Degrading. Look in the mirror and realize what you're saying to these people.
Well, two thoughts come to mind. I mean, one, there's certainly a theme in mass media where you see, not mass media, but movies and television, and by and large, if someone is going to be tied up or handcuffed, the character is usually female.
Yes, that's true.
And if it's a male, they don't stay there that long, whereas, I think Kim Bauer on 24 was in handcuffs for most of the first season.
Both the Bauer women were. I mean, the wife and the daughter spent, the entire... And then the villain from season one, Nina, she was handcuffed for most of season two where she was around. It's true. The woman as victim thing is not at all limited to porn. And at the same time, you could see a lot more porn where, you know, the guy is tied up and handcuffed than you see in regular television.
You know, and the second thought that comes to mind is, holy cow, I mean, both you and I have been mistreated by anti-porn feminists in some pretty intense ways.
Well, and I think it's odd when that happens to pretty much, well, any feminist who if she's not wholly anti sex industry or anti porn, is treated kind of nasty. And in a way, I don't get it. I mean, there's something. What really blows my mind is when they do the, oh, you're whole pro porn, or, you know, oh, you sex positive pro porn, whatever. A lot of these women aren't pro-porn at all. They, you know, they either are completely ambivalent or have no feeling towards it whatsoever, or are not at all familiar with it, and are, you know, if a woman says she's choosing to do that, well, then that is her choice. But a lot of them, you know, they have no idea. And I think that a lot of people that I've talked to, even like a couple of, you know, feminists that have talked on my blog or have talked to me on my blog, they're like, well, what is everybody complaining about? And then, you know, they'll actually go out and, like, look at some porn, and they're completely horrified. I mean, they are. They're completely horrified by what it is that they see, and the way that it makes them feel. But at the same time, they're not willing to say that, you know, those women didn't choose to do it, or don't have any other options, or are willing to, you know, take the performer at their word on it. And they're immediately, like, you know, tarred and feathered as, you know, being, I don't know, the left-hand woman of Larry Flint or something. And it makes no sense to me, because these are not women who have a vested, I mean, I'm always told, oh, I can't be, you know, I shouldn't be allowed to speak about it because I have a vested interest in the industry. That's true. I mean, in the sense that I make money from it. But, and I'm much more vocal about my defense of porn than a lot of other people are. So, I mean, I can kind of understand where I draw fire from people for it, because of the type of content that I do, and because I am vocal about, you know, my right to do it and supporting it. But these people who are on the fence or have no opinion or whatsoever, or are all about, you know, leave the women who want to do it alone and help those who want out, you know, which I believe is pretty much your stance, they just get torn apart. I mean, it's, yeah, you just get torn apart for not being wholly like, this is bad and it needs to go.
I mean, essentially, you describe me. I'm ambivalent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
Right.
You know, as long as it's consenting and it's between adults, I mean, what's the big deal? You know,
right.
You know, and, you know, we could do another experiment here. You and I have both been targeted by these people. Do we say that Andrea Dworkin is responsible for the harm that these feminists have caused you and I? Do we advocate that Andrea Dworkin's book be banned?
Nope. And I don't think I've ever advocated that anything be banned. I mean, I'm kind of like, if you have a problem with something, you know, if you find it offensive, you have every right in the world to campaign against it and put pressure on the person who's making it to try to get them not to make the product. You can do that as much as you want. That's, you know, free speech versus free speech. But, you know, actually, you know, trying to, you know, literally take that, you know, it could take it to the extent of that, oh, geez, this entire genre of entertainment should not exist. That's a bit much to me, especially when, I mean, I really honestly, a lot of these people, I want to know, like, how many, you know, and not just the ones they want to listen to, but how many, you know, porn performers or strippers or, you know, prostitutes or anything have they personally talked to? And it's kind of like, do you only go and listen to the ones who are going to say the story that you want to hear? And I think the answer to that is a big yes. They don't want to listen to people that don't agree with them. And it's completely evident. Everywhere you look, well, I don't have time to listen to the, oh, you know, 1% of happy whatever. But, you know, It amazes me. It's kind of like then they rush into these women who have had bad experiences and make them their, you know, their little project and their little poster girl for, oh, see how bad the industry is. But if that woman should ever change her tune, she'd get treated just like you and I do. And you know that firsthand.
Yeah. I mean, you know, 9 years ago, I was the poster child for, you know, Rad Fem magazine or whatever. And when I said, you know what, I just don't think it makes sense to me anymore.
Yeah, well, and I just wish they'd be honest. If they're going to say, we care about sex workers, okay, fine and great. Say it honestly. We care about sex workers that say what we want to hear. To back up our view of what the industry is like. And, I mean, do I think that most women would want to do what I do for a living? Absolutely not. But you know what? I'm not forcing them to. I'm not suggesting that they do. I'm not trying to recruit them into it. So it's like, you know, shut up and leave me alone or engage me as a person with some, you know, power to think and choose, and don't be such, you know, a jerk about everything is the best way to put it. You know, I'm sorry I'm not singing the song you want to hear, but I'm not going to shut up because you don't like it.
Couldn't they go to your blog and say, you know, Renegade Evolution, I don't think I agree with you, and I want to discuss this with you without making you wrong or without throwing all these absurd allegations, you know, I mean, now you are in Toledo instead of Robin Field.
Well, I've said time and time again, and I think you've said the same thing. I mean, with both of us, you know, talking about whether it be outreach or experiences with, you know, feminism or, you know, you have more, much more, you know, experience in, you know, international you know, outreach and what can be done, and I, you know more about porn or whatever, but it's like, I think when people come to us in good faith and say, you know, we'd like to discuss this, I don't agree with you, but I'd like to, you know, discuss it and get your, you know, I'll listen to your side if you listen to my side and bounce questions and ideas off of each other. If people do that and they come in with a respectful attitude, I'm not even saying an open mind because I don't even care about the open mind at this part, but if you come in with a respectful attitude, you know, they get treated with respect, but when people come in just outright condemning for whatever reasons, it's, you know, how many times are we going to do this song and dance? And the whole thing, I mean, already people who are talking about this UK law and how it's unfair and how, you know, what is considered to be extreme is so subjective and, you know, and these are people who are, you know, not all of them are BDSMers and not all of them are men, are saying, you know, this is a bit much. I mean, this is really kind of draconian. And already they're being like, oh, well, you know, why aren't you just trying to get this, are you trying to get this murderer out of prison? And it's like, no, you're taking a huge leap here. That's not the case. So we're objecting to this law. And there's no willingness, I think, from the part of anybody to these guys to, you know, listen to anyone whose experience doesn't measure up to what they want or even to treat that person with, you know, basic human dignity, which is, you know, what they're supposedly arguing for. So I find it incredibly ironic.
You know, and we've got 1 minute left. Well, probably about 2 minutes and 50 seconds. What haven't we talked about that you'd like to... What crown of evolution would you like to share with the audience?
What... Crown?
A crown of evolution. I mean, we opened up with crown of creation.
Oh, I don't have anything to share today. All I can suggest is, let's see, go to Bound Not Gagged and watch my cool sex workers tribute video. That's
everyone,
my advice for the day.
Watch.
Yes,
did you make that?
Yeah, I made that. So I thought it was cool, so I put it up there, and I think... It's a good message for people who want to know what the heck we're talking about all the time to go see and go watch.
It is absolutely phenomenally well produced. Honestly, I thought to myself this must be a Hollywood production or something.
I used a great little program called Animoto for it, which you can try it out for free, but it's not free once you use it a few times, but it's fantastic. I mean, you pick your music and you pick your images and you put them in the order you want, but it kind of puts them to, I mean, it goes the way you put them in, but it puts them with the music and makes it look real nice. I mean, anybody with enough patience to sit down and do all of that can make one. I just happen to have a lot of patience.
I want to thank my guest tonight, Renegade Evolution. Join us Wednesday evening as the launch of a new show. It's called The Cult of Gracie. I'm Joe Brennan. This is XBN.
XBN. Blog Talk Radio.
That logo, that audio logo was rude. It cut Jessica off. Thank you.